We'll read again in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11 and verses 29 and 30. Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Some of the young people here will no doubt be looking at college catalogues, planning your future. Many of us here have been through that process and remember looking at different colleges, and we're looking usually, aren't we, for two things. We're looking for the courses that are taught, and we're looking at the teachers. We're wanting to know that the courses have good content for us, and we're wanting to know that the teachers have good qualifications. And I want to try and persuade you this evening to enroll in Christ's College if you've never done so before. And I want to persuade you on these two grounds: the content of Christ's courses and the qualifications of Christ. The content of the course and his qualifications. And if you're already enrolled, I want to encourage you to enroll in more classes in that college or learn the subjects better, go deeper, get further along the road. And again, it's on these two grounds, the content of the course and the qualifications of the teacher. Let's look at these in turn. First of all, at the content of the course. Here Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." A yoke was a piece of wood that was specially cut and designed to be laid across the shoulders of someone to carry heavy weights. They were designed to be placed on the strongest part of the body and to be evenly distributed so that the person carrying or pulling the heavy weight will do it with maximum effectiveness. And so Jesus here is saying, "Take my yoke upon you." He's saying, "I want you to put something on your shoulders." Now, there are two kinds of yoke. There are well-designed yokes, yokes that have been carefully crafted by someone with a lot of knowledge, experience, and skill, made of the right wood, the right materials, customized, personalized to fit the person or an animal, and appropriate to the load that was to be carried or pulled along. And when a yoke was like that, it was well designed, it was carefully crafted, it was made of the right materials, it was fitted to the person and the task, then the work was done very easily. The farmer prospered, and even the animal thrived because it was doing what it was designed for. And it was all fitted. It was all appropriate. Everything was just like a well-oiled machine. That's a good yoke. But there were also bad yokes. In fact, in the Bible, yoke is usually used negatively. The prophets, for example, they speak to Israel in many, many places, saying that God had placed the yoke of oppression on their shoulders, usually meaning that foreign nations were crushing them. God also spoke to Israel of being under the yoke of Egyptian oppression when they were in Egypt in slavery. The apostle in Galatians 5 speaks of people being put under, again, the yoke of bondage, meaning the laws and the ceremonies and the rituals of the Old Testament. And that was portrayed as a bad yoke, as an unfitting yoke, as a painful yoke, as a damaging yoke. So there are two kinds of yoke. There's one that's really well designed and crafted and appropriate, and there's another that's really ugly, broken, badly put together, just doesn't fit, doesn't work, causes tons of stress and pain. Now we come to this verse. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And how does he describe this yoke? He says, my yoke, in verse 30, is easy, and my burden is light. So here Jesus is saying, I'm putting a yoke on you. And it's a yoke of learning, and it's a yoke that is easy, and a yoke that is light. It's a good yoke, in other words. Now, if you're familiar with this passage, you might be wondering, this seems sort of jarring. It seems awkward, because if you'll remember in the verse before, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So here, Jesus is looking at unconverted people, people without Christ, people without himself, people without faith, and he's seeing them under these painful yokes, these terrible yokes. And he's saying, come and let me take that yoke off you. Let me take that burden off you. And this message is still going out to the world today. Jesus is still addressing humanity in the same way. Come to me, all you who labor, all you have terrible yokes on you. And everybody has a yoke. Everybody is under a yoke of one kind or another, a good kind or a bad kind. And in verse 28, Jesus is addressing those who have bad yokes, terrible weights and burdens upon them that are crushing them and breaking them. There's the bad yoke of the ceremonial law, all the rituals, all the ceremonies, all the detailed steps that had to be taken by the Old Testament people to keep the nation on the right side of God. That was a huge burden, a crushing burden that no one could really bear. There's the burden, the yoke of the moral law, trying to get to God or please God or get to heaven by obeying his commandments, his Ten Commandments. That too is a crushing, terrible, weighty, painful yoke to bear. There's the yoke of man-made laws. The Pharisees especially, who were in the audience here, were those who had taken the Ten Commandments and multiplied them and added to them all their own customs and traditions, as if the Ten were not hard and weighty enough. They had to increase them and multiply them and crush people even more. There's the yoke of sin, the burden of lust and the crushing weight of that on a life. There's the weight of the devil's control. That's a terrible yoke. That's a terrible bondage to have the devil dictating our lives. There's the weight of man-pleasing. That's another awful yoke to wear in this world, to have our whole lives centered around pleasing other people. That's one. Who can bear that? There's a yoke of materialism, or the rat race, always trying to get more or at least keep up with the Joneses. There's the weight of self-centeredness, the yoke of self-pleasing. There's the yoke of of the fear of death, which the apostle in Hebrews describes as a lifelong bondage for some. We look out on the world. I look out here tonight and I see various people who are laboring under these terrible, difficult, crushing weights and yokes. They may be ceremonial, moral, man-made, sin, the devil, people-pleasing, materialism, self-satisfaction, self-pleasing, the fear of death. Do you not feel the weight of these things? Surely you do at times. Surely you do. Those of you here are unbelievers and who are without the hope of the gospel. Ask the Lord to make you feel that weight even more until it's too heavy for you to bear, until you cry out, Lord, take it off. Remove it from me. I can no longer bear this. And that's what Jesus offers here in verse 28. Come to me, all you, all of you. It doesn't matter what kind of yoke you're carrying, what kind of burden is crushing you. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. He can remove all these yokes off your shoulders. Every single one of them. So there's not an ounce left of weight upon your life. Can you imagine what that must be like? Some of us don't have to imagine. We know. We've experienced it. There's a lightness, there's a liberty, there's a freedom, there's a joy that's indescribable in that moment when you realize no more is this going to dictate and dominate my life. It's over. I'll never wear that yoke again. Verse 28 is so liberating, isn't it? And that's why 29 seems to jar. Because there's hardly a breath between 28 and 29. Here's this soul that's been weighed down for all these years, all these decades maybe, lifelong maybe, and they're freed. The yoke is gone. It's an amazing feeling. And then Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What? I've just been under a yoke, maybe a number of yokes, maybe a series of yokes. Maybe I've gone through a lot of these kinds of yokes. And this freedom is just like wonderfully good. And now you say, put your shoulders down, I've got another yoke for you. Christ does lay a yoke upon his followers. Oh yes, in salvation, he removes the burden. He smashes these yokes in pieces. He burns them up so that you will never put them on again. But then, not as a way of salvation, no. Then, as a way of following Christ, who has saved us, he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. And as he makes clear here, he's really tying together the idea of a yoke and learning. It's a yoke that's focused around learning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I want to tell you about the contents of this course that he calls you to enroll in, which he portrays as a yoke. It's got various subjects. It's got history. You've got to learn about Israel and Egypt and the surrounding nations. You've got to learn about Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem. You've got to learn about Samaria, Galilee. You've got to learn about significant moments in Bible history. You've got to learn about the different steps of God's redemption. You learn about Corinth and you learn about Ephesus. You learn about Philippi, as we've been doing over many wonderful weeks. Yes, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of geography, and there's a lot of biology too, because you remember some of the verses in Scripture, like Psalm 139, where the psalmist is talking about how I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. He's saying, examine your body, study your biology as a means of worship. There's psychology, the study of the soul, the invisible part of us, how that works, and how spirituality fits into our lives, how you develop spiritually and grow spiritually and bring your own spirit into communion with God's spirit and a fellowship with him. What a wonderful psychology is taught in Christ's College. You learn math. You learn how to count uncountable blessings. As the psalmist says in Psalm 40, he says, if I was to try and count and order all the good things God has given to me, I'd run out of numbers. I don't have a mind capable, but that's the best kind of math, the one where you can never get the right answer in this case. You learn the math of confessing uncountable sins. Eventually, you've gone through how many sins you've tried to count them all, confess them all, and you realize you can't count and you can't confess them all. And so you just sort of put them all over to the Lord and say, cover them all my uncountable sins. He teaches us language, the language of prayer. He teaches us music, the music of praise. He teaches us biography. Oh, so many interesting characters, but none so fascinating, interesting, and compelling as himself, as Jesus Christ. What a course he calls us to study in. But there's also the course of service, to study what it means to serve him. There's also one of the hardest courses in this college, the course of suffering, of trial, of tribulation, of pains that we have to endure in the body maybe. Maybe pains in our minds, mental, emotional disorders. Maybe painful providences in our families, conflict, fallings out, brokenness here, there, and everywhere. Oh, so many hard pages in that textbook. This is all part of the yoke of Christ. Subjects, spirituality, service, suffering. This is what he means when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you hear that, don't you? And you say, that's not easy. That's far from light. How can Jesus say this yoke is easy and this burden is light? This is a heavy yoke, it seems to me. When I hear of all these parts of the courses and all the difficult pages in these textbooks, how can I believe this is easy and this is light? Is Jesus telling the truth here? It doesn't seem to fit what I see or even what I've experienced. What does Jesus mean here when he's saying, take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Well, it's not easy and it's not light for the unconverted, that's for sure. Oh no, this is for the unconverted, the unbeliever, the person who doesn't know Christ savingly, who has not gone through a verse 28 reality. 29 and 30 is far from easy and light. It's like a nightmare. It's like awful to you, to your eyes. So it's not light and easy to someone who is outside of Christ. And it's not easy or light to anyone until they put it on. You can't wait until you've kind of tried it on, you know, as an experiment. Maybe I'll try it for a day or two and see if that works. It'll be unbearable, unwearable. This is not easy or light until you put it on permanently. and irreversibly. It's not easy or light at the beginning. For many of us, when we went through verse 28, whether it was quick or slow over many months or years, putting on that yoke initially, coming under submission to the authority of Christ, it chafed, it hurt, it even cut. There were areas of our lives that just didn't fit, that didn't jive. There were parts of our personalities that really felt the friction of this at the beginning. He's not saying that straight away we'll find this is easy and this is light. No, no. We may, but we may not. It's not easy to our flesh. And that's true not just at the beginning, but throughout the whole of our lives. We still, as believers, have an old nature. We still have the old man, the fleshy part of us, the corrupt nature that will chafe against and rub against this yoke for as long as we live, at least from time to time. It's not easy to the flesh. It's also not easy, though, if we rebel against the yoke. If we come against this yoke with deliberate, defiant disobedience and rejection of what Christ is teaching. There's no yoke in the world that is going to be easy if we're trying to throw it off and fight against it and go in opposite ways to which it's pointing. It's not easy to a rebellious spirit. It's not easy if we try and put it on before we put the old ones off. That's impossible. You can't mix yokes. You can't wear all the ones that were put off in verse 28 with the one that's highlighted in verse 29. No, it's not easy if you try and do that. But it is easy. It is easy comparatively. It is easy compared to what was there before. It is light compared with what was there before. It's easy and light compared to trying to get to heaven by obeying the ceremonial law. It's easy and light compared to trying to get to heaven by obeying the moral law. It's easy and light compared to trying to get to heaven by obeying man-made law. It's easy and light compared to being under the domination of sinful lust. It's easy and light compared to people-pleasing. It's easy and light compared to materialism and keeping up with the Joneses. It's easy and light compared to the devil's domination and control. It's easy and light compared to self-centeredness and self-pleasing. It's easy and light compared to being under the bondage of the fear of death all our lifetimes. It's easy and light compared to all these other yokes. And it's easy and light because of all the new that God brings along with this yoke. He brings along a new nature that loves this yoke, that bows under this yoke, that delights to bear the weight of this yoke. He brings along a new power into our lives to help us obey and follow and learn. New help. He brings along new laws that are far simpler and more straightforward than all the multiple laws that people make up. You notice what happens in our society. When the Ten Commandments are put out, they need 1,000 to come in to try and keep law and order in the land. But under the yoke of Christ, it's new law. There's a simplicity to it and a straightforwardness to it. There are new motives, there are new aims, there are new purposes which make this yoke easy and light. We have a new master. There's a new fittingness. It just fits. It feels right. It's personalized. Christ is a yoke designed for each and every one of his people. That's why Christ can say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, but it's still a yoke. It's still a yoke. It doesn't say, come and take my chair. Christian life's not about sitting down. It doesn't say, come and take my mattress. Christian life's not about lying down. It says, take my yoke. There's work. There's labor. There's forward progress. But compared to all the other yokes, and when you take account of all the newness, this yoke is easy. And this burden is light. And maybe above all, this yoke is easy and this burden is light from the perspective of eternity. When you look back, or when you will look back, even the believers here who feel the Lord has laid a heavy yoke, a heavy burden on you. Even if you can say, yes, compared to the previous yokes, this is still lighter, but it's still heavy. But when you get to eternity, when you look back on this life, and when you look forward to heaven, and when you look down to hell, you'll say, whoa, that was easy. And that was light. And this is why Christ says, take my yoke upon you. It's saying, pick it up, bow your head, and let me put this on your shoulders. It's not weight, it's take. It's calling you to apply for this yoke. It's saying, enroll. Go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm done with all these other yokes. I'm tired, I'm bruised, I'm bleeding, I'm weary, I'm miserable. Will you please do a verse 28 and a verse 29? I want this yoke that's described here in your truthful, authentic, believable words. A yoke that is easy and light because it's your yoke. It's your yoke. That's what he says, isn't it? Take my yoke. It's not the yoke, it's my yoke. So, argument based upon the content of the course. But the second briefer argument is on the character of the teacher. The character of the teacher. He says, take my yoke because it's easy and light. But he also says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's very unusual as a qualification. I mean, imagine if you opened the faculty handbook of your catalog, and there was a teacher there, and it said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You go, what? That's not a qualification, is it? I mean, what are we used to? Well, look at my credentials. Learn of me. I'm so clever. Learn of me. I've got so many letters after my name. Learn of me. Look at all the students I've got. Learn of me because I get my students the best jobs. Learn of me because I can guarantee you the highest incomes. Learn of me because I am so popular. Learn of me. And Jesus sweeps all this away. So countercultural. He's not interested in numbers. He's not interested in fame. He's not interested in prestige. He's saying the biggest attractor that I can put in this catalog for needy sinners is this: I am meek and lowly in heart. It's astonishing, isn't it? It's the only place in the Bible where the heart of Christ is described in this way. The heart of Christ is meek
and lowly. That's how the Bible wants us to remember and think of the heart of Christ, of the heart of this teacher, meek and lowly. He's a meek and lowly teacher. What does that mean? Well, it means he's not proud. He's not haughty. I'm sure you, if you think back on all the teachers you've had, we can all think of teachers that were really arrogant, can't we? Teachers that were really full of it. Teachers that were all about showing how much they knew and how little you knew. Teachers who liked to make you small and make themselves big. Teachers who were incredibly impatient with you, who maybe mocked you and were sarcastic towards you. How much did you learn in these classes? Virtually nothing, didn't you? You can't learn from someone like that, or at least not much, not permanently, because it's so off-putting. Unless, of course, you're a smart person, you're really, really clever, and you know that really appeals to you. But you know, for the lowly and the meek themselves, this is no. You run from these people, don't you? You don't want that. That drives you away. He's gentle. He's humble. He's patient. He's tender. He's slow to anger. He's sensitive. Really, in essence, I suppose you could say he's out for the students rather than out for himself. That's what makes a real teacher, isn't it? That's what will make even the worst students learn. There's a lot of debate going on in academic circles these days about top professors in many of our colleges and universities that increasingly they're completely taken up with research and writing, and they delegate all the teaching of their students to graduates and postgraduate students. It's kind of beneath them, and they're out there making their name, making themselves well known, and teaching is kind of, well, that's for lesser people, but not this teacher. He's saying, I'm out for you. I'm totally focused on you. I'm not out to threaten you or intimidate you. I'm out to draw you, to give up myself. Lowly in heart means near to the ground heart. That's literally what it means. He's a ground level teacher. He's down here with the rest of us, as it were. He's not up there looking down. He's down here with us. He's drawing alongside. He's lowly in heart. And again, the contrast here with the curriculum of the Pharisees is staggering. Because the Pharisees' character was exactly the opposite. They were high and mighty. And that's why none of the common people heard them gladly, but they heard Jesus gladly. Because he was down at their level. He's a meek and lowly teacher. You might say, just, oh, I'm way down here. I'm just a nothing and a nobody. That's exactly the kind of student he wants to teach. He loves the stragglers. He loves those who confess their ignorance, their slowness to learn, their inabilities, their lack, their need. This is the kind of student that Jesus says, give me, bring them in. That's who I want. That's the level I want to work at. And it doesn't matter how big our brains are naturally, how qualified we are in this world, that it doesn't come into it. As Jesus says earlier in this chapter, he says, I thank thee, O Father, that you have hidden these things, these spiritual things, from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. This seemed to thrill the heart of Jesus, that God actually hid things from the naturally smart but spiritually blind and revealed profound, deep mysteries to the naturally less intelligent, but those with spiritual sight. You put on this yoke of Christ, you bow under this, you'll find him down there with you, and he will start teaching you. Because he's meek and he's lowly of heart. He's a meek and lowly teacher. But there's a second thing here, and it's this. He's a meek and lowly example. And this is fascinating, I think. If you look at this text, he says, "Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." And that follows, "Take my yoke upon you." See if you can follow the logic here. What he's really saying is, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." He's saying, use me as an example of lowliness and meekness. He's saying, I've borne a yoke. I put my own head and shoulders under a yoke. A yoke of study, a yoke of spirituality, a yoke of service, and a yoke of suffering, weightier than anyone ever wore in this world. And he's saying, learn of me. Because I did this with a meek and lowly spirit. He's saying, how could I get under this yoke, stay under this yoke, and bear this yoke until it needed bearing no longer without a meek and lowly spirit? He said, I couldn't do it. And so learn of me in that sense, not just because I am meek and lowly in heart, but learn with meekness and lowliness of heart, the same that I had when I bore that yoke. We cannot submit to this yoke unless we do it with Christ's attitude. John Calvin said this, "The yoke will not be troublesome to us when we have become used to meekness and humility by his example. So long as the flesh is mutinous, we raise an uproar. The meeker and humbler we are, the easier and lighter this load will be to us." So he's basically saying, I'm not just the teacher, I'm the message. I'm not just the teacher, I'm the subject. It's not just I teach with meekness and lowliness of heart, but that meekness and lowliness of heart is to be followed, learned by you, so that you may bear my yoke more easily, more lightly. He's saying, look at how I carried my yoke and learn of me. Copy me. Follow me. And it's his yoke. I think it's what we always have to try and remember. When we feel that the yoke that has been put upon us as believers is weighing us down, it's sore, it's not what we expected, it's not what we wanted, it's to remember this. He's already worn it for you. It's already been on his shoulders, as it were. He's broken it in. He's taken off the worst edges, the most painful, weighty aspects. He's borne all that. It's his yoke. It's my yoke. And we bear it in relationship with him. We're not alone. This is not a single yoke, it's a joint yoke. There are two shoulder spaces here. It's not that he places a single yoke on us and then says, right, on your way. He's got a yoke on with a space and he's drawing alongside and he's saying, take my yoke. And I'm still here. We're going to do this together. We're going to walk together, we're going to learn together. We're going to move forward together. I will never, ever let this yoke lie with its full weight upon you. I am with you every step of the way, every step of the journey. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It doesn't matter if you lose your friends, your family, your health, your mind, your sanity. I am with you. It's still my yoke. It will never be just yours. It's always mine. you bear it with me. He's saying, come on. Let the content of this course and the character of this teacher compel you to enroll in the college of Christ. He's especially looking for strugglers. He's looking for the slow. He's looking for those who come helplessly and weakly. He loves teaching all ages, all stages. Don't say, I'm too young for this yoke. He's got yokes that fit every age. From the youngest child here to the oldest. Don't say, I'm too old. He's offered me this yoke for so long, and I've said, no, 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 I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to carry my own yoke. And now, no, it's still there. Still got an open space. And he's still coming to you this evening and saying, take, take, take my yoke upon you. Look at the contents of the course. Look at the character of the teacher. Go to him, say, put me under this. Let me take this. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Whatever this involves in terms of study and spirituality and suffering and service, there's a deep existential rest, a deep shalom, a deep peace that nothing can remove, that will last as long as you live on this earth. That yoke is given to us for our safety, to keep us in the right furrow, to keep us plowing a straight path home. And when we arrive, that yoke will be finally removed. It's safe for us to have this in this earth. It's necessary. No one does well without a yoke. No Christian will thrive without the yoke. But when we get to heaven, oh, what a moment when that yoke is lifted off our shoulders. It's no longer needed to keep us safe, to keep us straight. We'll be home and we will have full, final rest for our souls. Why don't you compare your yoke tonight? You've got something on your shoulder here. Every single person, every single soul here has a yoke. If only you could see it. If only you could see it. Some of you can't see it. Some of you can't even feel it. If God was to, you know, as it were, materialize that yoke, give it visible physical form, you would be repulsed by it. You would think, I'm insane. What am I doing? How do I think this is life? What's possessed me? What's got into me to make me think that this is the way to live? Why don't you pray that God would give you the eyes to materialize, to visualize, to feel the evil weight that's on your shoulder so that you may cry out, not just, give me rest in verse 28, but give me your yoke, verse 29 and 30. Amen. Let's pray.